Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Come on and put your hands together and let's bless God today because He is so deserving. Hallelujah. He is so deserving of our praise. We come into His presence with singing and to His courts with praise. One more time, put your hands together and bless God today. Amen. I thank Him for all that He's done for me, not today, but all week long. Have y'all had a wonderful week in the Lord? I have. Have you really had a really good week? Well, let me tell you one reason you had a good week. You're here. All right? You're here. Even when you didn't think that you were going to make it, you are here. Amen. And we bless God for that today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it. Amen. I'm excited about Sunday morning gathering. So all of you that left this morning going to church, I've got a news flash. You'll never make it. You'll never make it. For all of you that are going to church, you will never make it. If you are not the church and you didn't recognize that you are the church on which Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and with your faith, believing that He truly is the Son of God, church is not where you go. Church is who I am. Somebody put your hand across your chest and say, church is who I am. Now look at somebody else and tell them, I just come here to gather with you. Amen. I come here to gather with you. We are not only gathering in this place at the Sunday morning service, but we're gathering in living rooms, in kitchens, in automobiles, on the job. We're gathering with people wherever they are. And however they've come together with this in this moment. Amen. The Lord says that in this day, and the day is now, that they that worship me will worship me where? In spirit and in truth. Now, you all tell me on your maps, where is in spirit? What state is that in? What continent is that on? What country is that in? Hallelujah. I'm worshiping the Lord in spirit wherever I am. Hallelujah. And where the scriptures say where two or three gather together in my name, there I will be in the midst. The Lord is always with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me share something else with you. The presence of you all are always with me too. Sometimes all of you, sometimes just one of two of you. You're always with me. The very spirit of your presence is with me. So I'm always in a place of worship. Hallelujah. And that's where the Lord is. One more time, clap your hands. I just want a degree of excitement to be in this place. It's good to see all of you all today, and we're going to make ourselves ready. Welcome all of those that are joining us online on our streaming paths. We're so glad that you're here today. Glad that you were able to make it. I think a week ago, we weren't here. We weren't here last week, right? No, we were on the beach last week. Yeah, Cassie and I were on the beach last week. Sunday morning, we had a good Saturday night rest, and we woke up, and we went down to Orange Beach to take some business time off. Amen. Slide the heat off. It's a little warm. And we took some time to ourselves, and she reminds me that I deserve it, and I remind her that she deserves it. Amen. And I'm glad that you all are always praying for us, and so that we can have safe passage to and from where we go. But to all of those that are joining us this morning by way of our streaming paths, our simulcast, to all of the various platforms, and I don't know, I'm just forever putting things out there. I just put whatever we do in the Lord on the wings of the morning, and whatever platform is available, that's where I put it. Amen. Those that are looking for it on Roku, we've been having some problems, but that should be resolved this week because we were attempting to increase and perform better. We had it at such a high resolution rate so that it would be clear, like you're looking at a high-definition movie, until it wouldn't play back on Roku. But our companies that we work with say that they're going to try to resolve that issue. So if you've not been able to get it on Roku, keep the app on Roku, the DA Hearth app on Roku, because at some point you're going to click it. Have anybody tried lately? Can you get it on Roku? You can't. So just keep trying. Don't delete it. They're trying to get that repaired. Reduce the resolution a little bit so that it'll come through. But I didn't know it until one day I was just looking and noticed that, wow, our Roku channel is not performing properly. But I want you to be able to get these various platforms because you can always go back. And when you miss it, you can stay on point, right? I'm hoping now that everyone's streaming experience when you're not here or when we're not in person is better. Is it getting better? Is it getting better? Okay, all right. I know it's not the best, but I hope it's getting better, all right? Because all of this is important. Last week was so strange because I was thinking that it was a problem and the stream wasn't going through. And Cassie told me later, she says, please, they are just texting me and telling me, get it back in the mic. I didn't know we were still live. Janet told me later. She said, I was only missing the part when you took the mic. I didn't know you all were out there. I thought I was just talking in-house. And Cassie said, no, you were coming across, except they were texting me, telling me, tell him to put the mic back up. We can't hear. But I was still talking about that woman in the well. Listen, at the well, that Samaritan woman. Let me tell y'all something about y'all selves. Y'all tickle me. Especially Sister Gloria Tucker this morning. So I wanted to go over and give her the whole summary, because I know she's been not getting all the streams about this woman at the well. And she listened to me, and I talked so long until she went to sleep on the phone. And I could hear, what's her name? What's Kat's name? I could hear Mimi meowing. And then in a fit, I say, isn't that right, Sister Tucker? I say, Auntie. Huh? I said, will you sleep? And she laughed. Boy, I know I'm a powerful preacher. I can put you to sleep on the phone, in the church house, you know, man. So she listened to me at length, and then midweek, she texted me back and told me, all of this stuff that you preaching, I've been listening to this for the last, out of the text there, I've been listening to this for the last 20 years or whatever. And you telling us that we are not the church. Reverend Heard, we have gathered in funeral homes, gymnasiums, meeting centers, houses, outdoors, and you're going to try to tell me that the church ain't where we go when that's what we've been doing all our lives? I said, well, I guess she was listening to me. Because the point was, is it's so important that we gather what we are gathering through this whole thing, and that is this, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, the liberation delivers you from anything that may be hindering you from a complete relationship with God. Are you hearing me? You cannot rest your faith, your belief, your relationship upon what is dictated by your race, your culture, your society, none of these things. If me being a Christian, if me saying that I am a person of faith starts to hinder God's plan for redemption, then I need to loose myself from being a Christian. Whatever hinders the plan of redemption that is dictated by my culture, my religion, my society, or my race, I've got to let it go. Because everything that is within the parameters of my race, my culture, my religion, and my society has to fit inside the plan of redemption. Not the plan of redemption fit inside of it. Meaning that when it is not correct in society to sit in one place with different races of people, because this is how society or religion dictates, then you are blocking the plan of redemption, because Jesus says, all come. All can come, whenever, wherever. So I can't permit me saying that I am saved block, hinder, or hamper the plan of redemption. I am still in John chapter 4, and I want to zero in on verse number 42. John 4 and verse number 42. In-house, you should have it on the overhead. And on for those of you that are streaming with us, you'll have to go and collect this in your Bibles. Go to your scriptures. John 4 and 42. And I'm going to read where it says that they said to the woman, this is after she's gone back to her town in Samaria, being instructed by Jesus to go back to your town. She goes back to her town. When she gets to her town, she said to all of those that were in her town to come and see this man. What was her report? Come see a man. Who did what? Told me everything that I've ever done. Now, when we read it, we didn't read a long synopsis where Jesus engages in conversation with her, telling her all we heard her say is that she had five husbands. When she gets back, she says, he told me everything that I've ever done. During her conversation and her encounter, everybody say encounter, with Jesus, when she gets back, she says, this man told me everything that I've ever done. Amazing, isn't it? Rather supernatural to me as well. When I can have what in brief seems to be just a short conversation or a couple of sentences with Jesus, and in return, the reality of it is that he told me everything that I've ever done. All right? So when she goes back to tell them, they believed as a result of what she said. But 42 is where I'm going to rest today, because they said back to the woman after she explains about her encounter with Jesus, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now, I love this, because I'm about to just upset your total equilibrium today. This is the place and this is the day that you wave bye-bye to Don, Reverend Hurt, Pastor Hurt, Dr. Bishop, Reverend the Great. Bye-bye. See you later. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you for your ministry. This is a time that you turn to your mother, you turn to your sister, you turn to one another, and you tell them, I appreciate you. I thank you for all that you've done in ministering to me, in sharing with me, in giving to me. I thank you for all of that. But we no longer believe just because of what you said. You ought to look at somebody and tell them right now, I appreciate you. For the last 22 years at Nation's Harvest, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I thank you. I thank you, Eddie. I appreciate you. I appreciate you since the day that we were at the homegoing service and you shook my hand and you told me I'm coming to your church and you showed up and you ain't left yet. But today we part ways. Nothing that we have gathered or gleaned from one another is what holds us together. I appreciate what you said. I appreciate what you've done. But no longer do I believe just because of what you said. Huh? Now, if you don't want to let me go, I'm going to shake you off. And when I start slinging you like this, because I'm not believing because of what you said, don't be offended. I have had an encounter with him myself. Jesus is now in town with her. They are no longer at the well. Jesus has been invited to come into their hometown. Now, before he got there, all they had was what she said. But thank God they had enough in themselves to hold on to that. There's a period of time that you're going to hold on to what I said. But there comes a time that you've got to let what I said go and embrace him. Am I clear, though? Because I'm going to go farther. I'm about to dig into where you live in a minute. Because you're permitting what others say control you too much when Jesus have completely changed the narrative of your life. But yet you are under the control of what others said. When the woman left town, she was the woman who had what? Five? When she got back, she was the woman who met a man that told her all there was to know about her. And what he said about me doesn't line up with what you have to say about me. Because of how you feel about me, even when they wrote the story in the script, I'm just a woman of Samaria. I don't even have a name. What's her name? What's her name? Somebody want to say the woman of Samaria is so bad. I didn't ask you what she did. I didn't ask you where she was from. I said, what's her name? Now imagine what people call you. It's not by your name. It's by the narrative that they've given you in your life. And I can call you by your name. April said something. You talking about that old? This is not the only time this happened. What's the woman with the issue of blood's name? I didn't tell you to call her by her circumstance. I said, what is her name? It depends on what the address is, who you are. Am I preaching? Society dictates certain things that I'm a minority. Where? In my hands or in my feet? Huh? You may be a minority. I'm not a minority. The narrative of your life, socially, how you are addressed. You don't realize what people call you. You may own Challenger Christian Academy, but when you get home, you may be the woman of Samaria. Probably. More than likely. Huh? You get it? Socially, you'll never rise above how people see you. Jesus met this woman to change all of that. And you can see during the course of this entire story in John chapter 4 that it doesn't, after it happens, after the encounter, after the onset, at the nucleus of the whole thing, which is at the well, as we go forward, everything plays in the same direction. Now, when she shares with someone else, they say, we're not going to believe because you said. We want to talk with him for ourselves. Jesus sets the new trend. Redemption has to do with you having an encounter with me. Not what someone else said. Not what preacher said. Not what pastor said. not what doctor said, not what bishop said, but your personal encounter with the Lord. Now we have heard for ourselves. Now we have heard. God, I want bondages destroyed. I want shackles destroyed. Not just loosened. I want them completely just annihilated. I want nothing holding you back. I want the power of life, and I want life and death to be in the power of the tongue, people. I mean, truly, not just in verse. I mean, in spiritual reality. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we what? Know. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. That's what it says. Now we know. This man is the Savior of the world. Now, where, what city is Jesus in? What area is he in? Samaria. Is that where he is? He wasn't even supposed to be there. But he didn't let religion stop him from going there, because sacramentally, now Jesus is unclean. Why? Just by virtue of being in Samaria, he's unclean. That's just like me going to Club 47. Bishop, where? Club 47. Y'all don't even know what that is. I do. He is now ceremonially unclean. Bishop is down at the, he's down at the juke joint. He's down at the casino. He's down at the this. He's down at the that. I am ceremonially unclean. Religiously, I'm unclean. I'm unfit. Now everybody whispering about what he doing down there. Why is he down there? Jesus is ceremonially unclean. Why? Because he's in Samaria. I want to give one good reason for him to be, this is my reason, for him to be in Samaria. Y'all want it? You ain't going to be mad when I tell you? Go to John 1, verse number 11. You read it. Just verse number 11. Don't read the whole thing. Just verse number 11. Huh? Why you saying uh-huh? Because you read it? What did it say? That's why I'm down there. Is that a good reason to be there, Tad? It is. Why? Because he came to his own, and his own received him not. Good reason to be there. Because I got to work the works of him that sent me while it's day. And I can't spend the rest of my life dealing with these people who reject me, deny me, will not accept me, will not seek to have an encounter with me. As a matter of fact, all they want to do is start rumors about who baptized and who, and isn't this just a carpenter's son, and running me, as Cassie and I had our Bible study last night. When I go back to Nazareth, all they want to do is stone me. And if it hadn't been for the supernatural power of God, I would have been dead, not by crucifixion, but by stoning, but by the supernatural power of God. I got through the crowd and they didn't even know I was missing. That's how I got out of Molten Heights. They didn't even know I was gone. That's just the Lord, and the Lord leave me. Elijah did it. Every time they looked for Elijah in one place, God had already moved him in the spirit of God to the next place. Boy, you want to confuse your enemies? Let them think they got you. When all they have is just a figment of their imagination. And they think that they've captured you with their words and with their accolades and with their opinions of who you are. And you already gone to the next place. You moved on where faith is truly calling you to. Can I preach today? He came to them. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, here are the Samaritans, verse number 12. I'm in John 1, verse number 12. To all who did receive him. Who received him? No, I mean, in verse 40, in John 4, who received him? The Samaritans did. The Samaritans, and I'm not a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, refer back to John 4 again, switch back to 4. Yet to all who did receive them, to those who believed in his name, what does it say here? We have heard for ourselves and we know that this man. We no longer believe because of what you said. We believe ourselves. Go back to John 1 again. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Now the Samaritans are no longer outcasts, but the plan of redemption have made them the what? Children of God. When it comes to the plan of redemption, people don't need your church. They don't need your denomination. They don't need your religion. They don't need your faith. They don't need your salvation. They don't need your program. They don't need your culture. They don't need all of that. They don't need all of that. He gave them the right to become the children of God. They were not born of natural descent, which simply means they are not Jews. They are not there because they are Mary's son or daughter, which means by human decision. They're not there because they are Joseph's sons and daughters. They're not Abraham's offsprings. But they are what? Born of God. He came to his own, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed that he was who he claimed, that he would do what he said that he was going to do, he made them to be their true selves. Changed the narrative of their life. They became the children of God. They're God begotten. God begotten. Blood begotten. Not flesh born, not sex born, but God born. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. Let me draw a subject out of this. We no longer believe just because of what you said. We have heard for ourselves. All right, I want you to take just we have heard for ourselves. I want you to highlight that, put that right at the top of your consciousness. We have heard for ourselves. Faith cometh by. Now these people are people of faith because they heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. All right. Jesus Christ became, the word was made flesh, all right, and dwelt among men. Here's the word. They heard the word. Faith cometh by them hearing Jesus. Now it's not just a hearing, it's an encounter. It's an experience with him, all right? Now what they have to do is they have to mix faith with the word. Mix faith with the word. See, we believe, but we didn't believe just because you said it. Now we have heard for ourselves, But you got to be careful because the devils believe. So you can't just have the word. You've got to mix faith with the word. When it says we now know that this man really is the savior of the world, of the world, they have permitted what they heard to become the drive and the motivation in their life. No longer will they feel inferior because they are Samaritans. They're mixing faith with their word is because from this day forward, I will not be oppressed because I am a Samaritan. I will not be of an inferior class because I am a woman. I will not allow any longer socially, religiously, culturally, myself to not be the begotten of God because of what I was born in. Look to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, control your narrative. This is where I'm going to work in a little bit. I want to dig in. This is where I'm talking about where you live. Control your narrative. Your life story means, when I say your pronoun, possessive you, means that you are the main character, right? It began when you were born. It's happening right now, and it's going to end this story, this segment of your life, when your time is up here. Your life, who's the main character? You are. Your earlier years were dictated by whom? Your parents. You did what they wanted you to what? Do. Right? Eventually, it was time for you to take the reins of your life. I know you tried before time, but eventually it was actually time. And then when it was time, you didn't want it to be. All right? But you wanted to be grown. In my household, pay a bill. That's what I heard her tell them every day when they wanted to do what they wanted to do, pay a bill. All right? That's what Cassie told them, pay a bill. So eventually I got the reins of my life when I left my mom and my dad. So now I'm taking responsibility for things, right? Now, how many of us are going to admit when we took the reins over our life that we really didn't know what we were doing? You really didn't know what you were doing, right? So what did we do? We looked at our past, and we looked to other people around us to inform us of the decisions that we made. I'm not asking you if this is what you did. This is what you did. I'm telling you what you did. You look to your past and you look to others to inform you of your decisions. You started looking to other people. You know why you did that? It's because you would rather not think for yourselves because you thought if you thought for yourself, you were going to fail. So you look to your past. And you look to others. Look at this woman at the well. How she looks to her past and others. All she know about herself is, I just got five husbands. That's all. Sometimes we think that we speak real positive of ourselves. But actually, our conversation and what we are speaking out of our mouths, we're speaking curses upon our own selves. Sometimes I think in life, if I had not have been born in Anniston, things would have been better for me. Sometimes I think that it's because of this, and I think it's because of that. And that's what we do. We always put a negative on the positive, and then our lives end up being nothing but just total negativity. Our past and what others think about us. Because we don't want to think for ourselves. So now our lives is dictated by others more so than ourselves. So we find ourselves in a situation that falls short of what we really be saying with our mouth when we say all the time, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That works fine to somebody, to somebody send us a text or call us. Because we can get a call or we can get a text or something can happen during the course of a day that all of a sudden, all of that, I can do all things turn into I can't do nothing. Say amen. Amen. You feel stuck. You feel afraid. And you don't know how to make change. So instead of doing something about it, we do the most unproductive thing there is to do. We complain. When I call you, you're complaining. When you call me, I'm complaining, 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 complaining. You want to get cussed out? Don't listen to somebody complaining on the phone when they want to complain. And they will tell you, I know the Lord's good. I don't want to talk about that right now. But you know, if you just have faith, I don't want to talk about faith. I don't want to talk about that right now. We take control when we do what is prescribed in John 4 and 2. That's where I'm going now, John 4 and 2. Did I put it on there? I didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. 4 and 42. That is, we hear for ourselves. We hear for ourselves. That's when you start taking control. It's when you do what happened in John 4 and 42. No longer I'm believing just because of what you said. You take control today when you learn to appreciate me for being a co-laborer. It's okay to respect me. I'm never going to disrespect my older sisters. But I'm not going to permit what my older sisters say about life start having control over my life. I'm not going to permit not wife, not child, not anyone else and the decisions that they make start taking control over what the Word of God and my faith sets up for the narrative of my life. I need this to come through clear. You gotta permit Jesus to do for you what he did for these people at Samaria. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. Did I put that one on there? That one? All right. Therefore, since the promise of entering into rest, his rest, still stands. Let me work this through now. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For as long as the promise of resting in him pulls on us to a God's goal for us. Y'all see the word resting? For as long as the promise of resting, the word there is sabbat, which literally means to stop. As long as the promise of stopping. Sabbath. As long as the promise of stopping. Jesus labored for, God labored for how many days in the creation? How many days? Six. How many days are there total in the creation? Seven. How many days did God labor in the creation? Six. And after 6 days, God stopped. Let that get deep inside of you. He stopped. Sabbath. He did what? Rest. From all of his what? Labor. There is a promise of Sabbath. There is a promise of rest. People, hear me clearly. I am not talking about when whomever the funeral home service is, get your tired, lifeless body. I am talking about today. I am talking about the promise of rest that starts when you stop from labor. Women, I want you to associate what I'm saying right now with giving birth to a child. When the labor stops, it doesn't last for a lifetime. It stops. The promise of stopping, the promise of rest, not in the way by and by, not in the hereafter, not in whatever you all say where y'all going, which probably won't be where I end up, because I don't like the way y'all describe sometimes where y'all say y'all going, because y'all be sending messages back and forth. I ain't sending nobody no message. I'm giving you your message now. You will not hear from me. I'm not going to be over there doing all of that. You're going to remember me when you get on the other side. I know you now. I'm not going to be running around heaven looking for you, Tad. You think we're going to know each other over there? What you doing with knowing me now? Why you want to find me when I get to heaven? What you going to want? I know that makes you tilt your head, don't it? Why you going? But baby, ain't you going to want to know me? Because you may be wanting another purse in heaven. I'm just putting in a little humor, you all. But at the same time, I'm being extremely meaningful here. Rest. Here. Now. Today. My message today is about adding faith to the word. R.L. McCray told me, Hearth, there is a day that you will rest in your calling. 42 years later, I'm standing here resting in my calling. I am not laboring from the days of NGPT. New Greater Peace Tabernacle. I am not laboring from the days of Molten Heights. I'm not laboring from the early days of this and that, and got a dress to do this, and you got to do that in the convention, and the this and that. We're not, Gloria, we're not laboring like that. We're resting. After 6 days, God rests. He rests. Sabbath. There's a second rest in that verse as well. Look at it as well. Hebrews 4:1. For as long then as the promise of resting in him pulls on us, this is a goal. You've got to learn to do this. If something is wrong with you can't sleep all night, you need to go see a therapist, because there should not be that if you done worked all day the way that you work, when you lay your head on that pillow, you ought to sleep, and you ought not sleep until you want to tell that alarm clock shut up. You should not be waking up worrying. You should not be waking up because you can't go to sleep. You should be, you at this time, your body needs rest. You should not be sitting just stressing all day long over something that you can't change and control. Rest. God is pulling us towards this goal. And we need to make sure that we're not disqualified. For unto us was the gospel preached. For unto us, I want you to still see this in John 4:42. We heard your word for it. Now we got our word for it. He preached to us. Of course, in Hebrews, he's talking about the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. But I want this to apply to you, to Samaria, and to them as well. For unto us, verse number 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, the Hebrews, out of Egypt. That's them. But the word preached did not profit them. Can I ask y'all a question? All of these sermons y'all done got over the last, all these many years, how much benefit has it been? Did it really help? Out of all that you all got, did you do anything with it? Did you mix any faith with that word that you were getting? Are you still going through doing yourself the same way that you were doing yourself 20 years ago? I'm just asking. Should me, being the man of God, delivering the word, watching over your soul, giving you food, bread from heaven, should I look all worn down and bent over and tore up? The devil you preach. As a matter of fact, should you let anything that you engage in life take the life out of you? I know what Hebrew 4:1 just told me. It told me that I'm being drawn to the promise of Sabbath, rest, stopping. Who controls when you're not going to do that any longer? That oppresses you, that stresses you. Who controls that? Thank you. Well, when are you going to do it? Now, I got some people in here say, okay, after today, I'm going to do it some more. Boy, after this sermon, whew, I still got some other things that I can just stop. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't take what God said and let it become the drive and the motivation. You're getting the word, but you're not mixing the word with faith. Go back to the people of Samaria. You've got to take this encounter that you had, this conversation that you had with Jesus, and let being a Samaritan mean absolutely nothing. Because now I'm a child of God. Am I getting through here, people? Don't forget who you are. Don't forget where you come from. I'm a child of God. I come out of the mind of God. Huh? Mama Ivy, do not make decisions for my life. They done stimulated y'all to death. Ask me what I'm talking about. All you looking for is another stimulus. And you ain't ever stimulated. They give you just enough for you to be like the chicken the chickens and the eagles. They just scatter enough because they know you'll eat whatever they throw out there and have you waiting on the next one. Everybody been waiting on you to get that income tax check. They've been preparing. They've been waiting on you so they can give you something that you don't need, something that ain't going to work, and something that's going to cost you with what you got for the next 10 or 15 years of your life. When God says that I'm asking you to mix what you, my word, what you, your life with me, my word that I give you, that word of faith, and I want you to, that word that I give you, I want you to mix it with faith. The first word was sabbat, which means to stop, and the second one that he said is nuach, which means that you abide in him. They that wait upon the Lord. Wait don't mean time and period, but it simply means just you just give yourself totally to him. You give yourself. You just come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you this nuach. I'll give you rest. If you're laboring and you're heavy laden, come to me. I'll bring you to a stop. Are y'all hearing this? To rest in him means you let your burdens go. Huh? True rest is when God is carrying what you can't yourself. You know what else rest equals? Peace. Now I'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Rest means you got to quiet all your racing thoughts. You got to quiet all of your worries. You got to quiet all of your concerns. And you got to turn them over to God. Didn't I tell you that while you've stopped, you still got to do some more stopping? I got to practice this every day, and I haven't perfected this, Eddie. For a period of my life, y'all didn't even know it. Man, I was just totally messed up. Anxiety was just, all I didn't want to hear was my heart beating, because every time, and the reason I couldn't go to sleep is because when I laid my head on the pillow, I was so, had so much anxiety, I couldn't lay down and go to sleep because my heart was keeping me awake. I could hear it beating. I could hear my own pulse. I could hear it. I'm just lying there. Just, yeah, I'm telling y'all the truth. Yeah, me, the preacher man, you. Oh, you got the word. I wasn't mixing faith with the word. A mess. Ask me how bad was it. I let them go in my heart and wasn't nothing wrong with it. Y'all know what I ended up with? A $40,000 helicopter bill. How much was it? $40,000. And they sent me the bill. And I put it in the trash can. I say, you talk to either the Veterans Administration or you talk to Blue Cross Blue Shield. They the one told you I could have the surgery. They need to be the one to pay the bill. Finally, the Veterans Administration paid it. I wasn't going to pay that. Then Dr. Reddy was in India at the time, and he said, you didn't need that surgery. Well, what you go to India for? They cut on me while you were gone. He said, you were just stressed out. Now I'd had a whole surgery for nothing. Oh, but they weren't going to stop until they found something. Y'all were there. Janet was there. They kept saying, something ain't right. Well, they soon made something up. Somebody say, how do you know you didn't need that surgery? Ask me. Because the same thing they said that they fixed, 2 weeks after I got out, it did the same thing. So if it's still doing it, what did y'all fix? No, nothing was wrong. You doing it to yourself. You are not stopping. I I went right down there, that furniture store, and the man messed around and said the wrong thing to Cassie. And now my heart go right again, boom. I looked at my watch, 187 beats a minute. Man, I thought they fixed that. Because y'all know messing with Cassie, that will set it off. Warning, it ain't going to set my heart off now, so if y'all don't want something else set off, don't mess with Cassie. What are you doing and what are the results? What's happening because you refuse to stop? You just don't stop. You won't rest. This is the goal. This is why Jesus, the plan of redemption, is not just so that we can be with him eternally and in eternity, but the cause of being at the well is so that this woman doesn't have to be in bondage anymore. Are you hearing me, Sister Tucker? Please assess your life right now. How much bondage are you in that you're just denying because you're letting other people change the narrative of your life and you're just giving yourself to your past and you really won't stop? You really just won't let that go. You're supposed to feel more energetic. You're supposed to feel stronger, better, not bitter. The joy of the Lord is supposed to be your what? What good is that if you can't mix faith with it? If the joy of the Lord is my, why am I so weak? It's because I can't mix faith with the word. How many got the word? Don't put your hand up. You're all going to put your hand up. You got the word. How many of you have faith? All of you going to put it up. But are you mixing faith with your word, with the word? What is it requiring you today to do today? Stop. Absolutely. Rest. It's requiring you to stop. Eddie, what's stopping you from stopping? Cassie, what's stopping you from stopping? It don't make it better because you worry about it. It doesn't show that you're not concerned. Because our daughter is going to be going a whole bunch of places. And you're going to worry your little self to death because she ain't going to not go because she learned too well how to mix faith with the word. And she's going to operate and flow in the blessings of God. They're going to move on, April. You can't give them the word and then try to hold them back. They believe for themselves now. Huh? The reason Aunt Gloria tried to hold on to you is because she didn't want anything to happen to you. But you got to realize, Mama, you done taught me now. If I make a mistake, I've got to learn for myself. Now, don't you repeat what she did over you with them. The prom is over. Whew! Ty made it. Alana made it. She went to the prom. She's here at church today. But a week ago, her mother was like a pair of dice in a drugstore rattling all over the place. But that's what a mama's supposed to do. That ain't helping you. Let that word take its course. No weapon. Mama, you look like you excited because I'm going. I am. Oh, I'm going to talk. I know you're going to say, I don't care what you said in that sermon. Every time my baby leave, I'm going to be just like that. And I'm going to be just like this. You're going to end up in my sermon. I got a t-shirt for it that says that. Be careful or you will end up in my daddy's sermon. Elena made that for me. And you will end up in my sermon. Rest. Dad, growing weak. He is. But all sickness ain't to death. So I'm not going to sit here and talk about I'm waiting for that day. Because all sickness ain't to death. Daddy, Bill Patterson, he tired. He ain't trying to die. Why are you trying to let him go? All sickness is not unto death. That's what the word is. Rest in that. Now, if you get out of here before he do, I ain't going to be able to tell you. Well, I guess, you know, hey, right? So what am I supposed to be doing every day? Every word that you know that applies, that brings the joy of the Lord to strengthen you. Am I preaching to you all today? Let your concern about me create more word in you. Is that right, Daphne? Then we got to do it. Let your concern about me, when we go through things, when things happen because circumstances are going to happen, rest on the Sabbath. He did what? Nothing. Absolutely what? God, what you doing today? Nothing. Janet, what you going to do about that? Nothing. I heard so-and-so, what you going to do? Nothing. Not meaning nothing like nothing. I will continue to do. You'll hear you say, pray for me. I'll continue. I ain't got to send no special one up. I pray without. So if I'm going to pray for you, that means I'm finna crank one up. No, I'm always praying for you. Pray for me. I'll continue. As always. I'm not going to show up to God with prayer just because you ask for one. Pray. What does the word say? Mix faith with your words. Stop saying stuff that you know don't even. Now, going to church, that's dumb. That's theologically incorrect. Church is not a place. You can't go to a person. We are the church. Then practice not saying it. I'm going to gather today. I'm going to the gathering. I'm slowly changing things, but I want it to change so that as God have changed the narrative of your life, what you're speaking now are true words of life. Am I coming through? Rest. Rest. Jesus in Hebrew 4, 1 and 2. I'm almost finished. 4, 1 and 2. Who was God grieved with for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, the promise of entering into rest? Their carcass is going to lie in the wilderness. I'm talking about the Hebrew people who he spoke to this. Look at Hebrews 3. Go back one. It's not up there. Look at Hebrews 3 so that you can come in to Hebrews 4 and 1. Look in 3. Are you in 3? What does verse 17 through 19 say? Somebody read it. Are y'all reading that? It grieved the Lord that you don't rest. I've been dealing with y'all for 40 years. You got my word, but you won't mix faith with it. Read it one more time, a little bit louder. Tracy.
But with whom was he grieved 40 years?
answer the question. Who was it? The children of Israel. Why? Because they had the word, but they wouldn't stop complaining. Every time you turn around, all they had were what, April? Complaints. We came out here to die. And don't y'all talk about the children of Israel, because that's what come out of our mouths every day. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Now here come this bill. Now here come that one. Y'all better tell folks what I be telling American Express. I spent it. I'm going to pay it. But I ain't going to let you worry me to death while I do. I ain't tell you I ain't going to pay it, but you're not finna worry me to death. We've been trying to reach you. You're talking to me now. Don't be telling me about you've been trying to reach me. You talking to me now. What you got to say? And what you about to say ain't going to change what I'm going to do, because I'm going to take care of it. I ain't going to mess me up, but I'm not finna let you worry me today. You getting paid to worry me. They called me the other day. We was on the trip, and they said they needed to talk to me. I said, I'm on the plane on my way to Dubai. They hung up. They didn't even say nothing else. I told them, I'm on my plane right now. I'll call you when I get there. They didn't even say another word. That's right. Call me with dumb stuff on the phone, and I'm going to give you a dumb response. I'm on my plane on my way to Dubai. We called because we noticed that you had some debt, so-and-so. I'm on my plane to Dubai. Click. Is that what I said? Is that what she done? Because I was on speakerphone. Not today, stopping today. Am I going to take care of it? Am I going to let you worry me while I do? Well, I'm glad you got that. The next time they do, don't let them sit up and make you tell another lie. I have it next Thursday. How many days I got? Okay, well then you just wait. If I get past that, you call me back. I just call you to let you know the 13th. What's today? The 9th. Bruh. Don't call me about something. We may all be gone on the 13th. But with whom he was grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? What was their sin, Eddie? Disbelief. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Hebrews 3:17, for unto us was the gospel what? Preached. As well as to what? Them. But the word preached did not profit them, and is not profiting us, because we not mixing faith with the word, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Somebody tell me, I got it, preacher. Paul said, faith comes by hearing the word of God. God was trying to get his people to mix faith with his words. And he wants us to mix faith with your words. So what's the mixer? April, you ought to get this one. What's the mixer? The power of. No, where is life and death? The tongue. The tongue is a mixer. The tongue is a mixer. How do I mix faith with the word? I got to speak it. Say it. Say it out loud. Listen, when you start quoting scriptures like, what's her name? What's Tyler Perry's character name? When you start quoting scriptures like Muddy, don't worry about it. God know your heart. I don't really mean that. I should have used another example. But what I'm trying to say is, just because you don't get it quite right, speak it. Why don't I just have to believe it? I ain't got to say it. You got to mix it. mix it. When they don't want to hear it, mix it. Why do I have to go around confessing what God said? Why do I have to go around saying it? Six reasons and I'm out of here. Number one, Mark chapter 11 and verse number 23. It's not up there. You got to work the last six. These ain't going to take long. I'm going through them quickly. Why do I have to say it? How do I mix my faith with words? Six reasons. Mark 11 verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, hey! Six reasons. Number one, I ain't got to climb it. I can move it. Hallelujah. That song that they sung, now, Lord, don't move this mountain, but give me the strength to climb. And Lord, don't take away my stumbling block, but lead me all around. And y'all went to shouting. I'm going to sing a new one. Now, mountain, get out of my way. The Lord told me to say, I ain't going to do no climbing today. I'm going to walk right through my way. Now. I'm too old to climb. I'm moving them. Gloria, we too old to climb. I can't even get on my knees to do nothing. The young man that was working with me yesterday, he said, you lay down to do it. I said, yeah, because I can't get on my knees to do it, brother. You know the feeling? Oh, you ought to see me when I get up. Knees won't hold me like that no more. If I pray for you, I can't go down on bending knees. I got to go down on lay down. Huh? Say unto the mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in my heart, because I'm resting, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall. Number two, why should I say it? Matthew 12, verse number 34. Matthew 12, verse number 34. Read it, Tat.
And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him.
Is this Matthew 12? 34? Mm-mm. Mm-hmm.
Now you can speak
good
when you are evil.
Right.
For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
What?
For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
The tongue is a mixer when your heart, and y'all, I don't have to go back. That's why we got prerequisites. Where's the heart? That's my communication path with God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that not right? So I speak out of the abundance. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you your what? The what? Now, what is my tongue when I mix it with the word I'm speaking? And that's what's keeping me alive, is because I keep something in my heart. What's abundant in your heart is going to get out of your mouth. Amen. If you really believe it, you're going to speak it. Sometimes we speak bad news because it's what you believe. When it come out of your mouth, you can't say, I don't really mean that. That's what you believe. That's what you got set up in there. Number three, 2 Corinthians 4. We halfway there. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse number 13, who's reading it? We got the same spirit of faith. As it's written, I believe, and therefore have I what? I spoke it. Why did I speak it? Because I believe it. I believe it and I speak it. And when I say it, July of last year, it was in my heart to call my son-in-law to come here because I felt that I was to tell my daughter and her husband to come here and let what the Lord have done for me be a shared blessing with them. My son-in-law was born in St. Catherine, Jamaica. And I wanted him to come here because I wanted one of the features of my new venture to be Jamaican food. When I told them that I will make sure that you will lose nothing. Even if you don't get paid, you won't lose anything. All I need you to do is get here. They found every reason not to come. July of last year, the 11th or whatever last week was of last week, I waited. And as God would have it, a young man showed up to work for me. I waited. First, I did what the Lord say do July of last year. I waited. Last week, at that time 20, because he only turned 21 on Thursday of last week, a 20-year-old Jamaican from the same town that my son-in-law is from, St. Catherine, went to work for me, and he'd been with me every day. And I haven't hardly had to raise a finger. Now, is it a coincidence that he's from Jamaica? Or did what I have in my heart make things start coming to pass? I'm just asking y'all. Y'all think it's a coincidence that this young man, Javin, ended up working for me and he reminds you of, what's his name in Coming to America? Hakeem. He a little Hakeem. I know I'm lying. Now, I'm not going to say that was their missed opportunity. I'm just trying to say just because you don't doesn't mean that it's going to stop what the Lord's going to do for me. Because when I say it, it's going to come to pass whether it's you or not. But sometime when opportunity is there, is not knocking, is for you to go to it. I don't think that was a coincidence. When we came in there yesterday, we came in like 2. He's 21 and I'm 66. Is that what I am? And we coming in there and I ain't tired. This everything I told that man to put his hands to. What you saying? Do we work at the store or do we work at the lawn? He work at both of them. I said, you get up, you're going to work with me tomorrow too. And every time you see me, it's one, he ain't here now. But wait a minute, I asked him during the course of the week, JJ, so where's your faith? How do you believe? Like God, do you believe? No, we don't waste the time to be concerned about that. I don't think about that. I just do good towards people. I'm just kind to people. And I believe that if I be kind to them, then I be kind back to me. I don't have time to do wrong to nobody. But that's all I need. I ain't got to bring you to church. Because I promise you, you finna have an encounter. Because I'm going to tell you my story. The narrative that he gave me. And before it's over with, he ain't going to be a Samaritan. He going to be a Jamaican. That's another reason that I wanted to tell that story. Because Jesus, it was a Samaritan. Mine is a Jamaican. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what I'm preaching is where I'm living. I'm telling you, God, I'm folding it every day. I just come and share it with you all. Hmm?
And I mean, he can make that. I told him, I turned to him, and if I said this, you know he good. I said, Javin, make me a taco. I told him to cook me something. I ate it, I turned to him. I said, boy, you made this better than I do. And you don't ever see me eating it. But I wanted to see how he did, and I watched him, though. Trustworthy, clean, and just turned 21. We have in the same spirit. Number four, Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt do what?
With your mouth.
The Lord Jesus, and shall do what?
In
that two parts, you got to mix faith with the word. Am I right? That God hath raised him from the what? Now you'll be what?
Saved.
Thank you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Number five, James 2. Verse number 26. Y'all got to wait. Y'all can't wait till y'all meet JJ. He is hilarious, man. Hakeem. I'm going to call him that too. James 2, verse number 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is what?
Is
dead too. Number six, the last one. John 6 and verse number 63. John 6 and verse number 63. John 6. Verse 63.
It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life.
Thank you. The word I've spoken to you is what?
Spirit
and life. Your words are the spirit and the life of your faith. Say it. April, if you don't want them to hear it, you say it to yourself. Say it. God says, I've heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which have murmured against me, saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do unto you. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness. Now, what he's saying now is this. Don't speak your own self out of here. That's what the children of Israel, what killed them? They killed themselves. Jesus ain't killed nobody in the wilderness. They spoke their own death, Gloria. He said, as you say, that's what's going to happen. And they say, we're going to die out here. And guess what they did? They died out there. Don't you speak your demise. The tongue is a little bit more powerful than you think that it is. And God says, as they ask, as they spoke, I'm going to let it happen. Be careful how you say, Lord, I feel like I'm going to die. When something plagues you, you speak life over yourself. Speak yourself healed. Pain don't have to stop for you to be relieved. How many believe that? Pain don't have to stop for you to be relieved. You know what it means to be symptomatic, right? Symptomatic means that they can see that you're going through what you're going through. So if I see you sweating and you're slumped over and you're tired, that means the symptoms tell me you don't have to be symptomatic. You don't have to look on the outside like what you're going through on the inside. When I look at you, you can look well. But truly, things can be going on. Speak it. Mix faith with your words. I love you today. Anybody with any questions? Anybody with any questions? Y'all got any? Y'all don't have any questions? Nobody with questions. Did you enjoy it? You really did? Did it help? You think you're going to be able to stop some stuff? Is it a work in progress? You're required to do it. You got to. You got to stop. Gloria, you can't get too old to stop. You got to stop. You got to rest. Now. You got to rest now. You got that? When you do it, you'll take the pressure off of those around you who love you. A lot of your pressure, a lot of things you're having to go through is because you won't rest. Stop expecting others to do for you what only you can do for yourselves. All right? And we're going to get there and we're going to have fun while we're getting there. All right? We're going to enjoy this ride. And it's going to get better. I called April on the way home last night. I preached this whole sermon in 5 minutes. I told her, if I don't show up, you tell them what I say. She said, you better be there. She said, I'm just glad I could be here because I know sometimes you have to get stuff off your chest. Sometime I do. It'd be just that exciting. Amen? And I just want y'all to know that I want to be a true example before you as a man of God of what God really want in your life. All right? I want you to just, I don't know any other way to tell you, Eddie. I want you to just want it for yourself. Just want it. And you can have it. It's yours for the asking. Come to your feet. Before you go out of this room, you make sure that you make this gathering what this gathering was supposed to be. Make sure you say to someone something wonderful, something good. Talk to each other before you go out. Let the gathering always be because we need the fellowship. We need the being together. We need the being together. We need to keep this up. We won't be in person next week. I'll be streaming next week. And we'll just keep going as the Lord directs our paths, all right? But then if during the course of the week, it's going to be at 11:30, I say, hey, we're going to be in person. Y'all come running, okay? Can y'all be that flexible? Is that all right? All right. And remember that if folk don't go with you to the well, get the word back to them. All right? And don't worry about folk coming to church with you. Just get the word back to them. And when they tell you, I ain't got to believe what you say, clap yourself. Well done. Amen? Well done. Amen. I love you all, and y'all be blessed. To those that are joining with us online, it's been a joy being here with you, as always. And I know that Sister Tracy and Sister Cassie and others that have been Taffney, that have been monitoring, have put all of the scriptures in the text for you. But remember that you can go back and you can review these services at the same place that you came today to join in with us in this viewing and in this chat experience. God bless you all, and I love you. Mix faith with your words.